Good morning, everyone. I am very excited to be speaking this morning, and I want to thank the elders for this incredible opportunity to share on something that has been very impactful in my own walk in life with the Lord. I'm going to be talking to you this morning about worship, and it's part four of our Kingdom series, and I've titled it Living a Life of Worship. And I just want you to take a look at the picture here, because this is an image I want you to keep in your mind as I speak this morning about what living a life of worship looks like. Living a life of worship looks like surrender. It looks like complete abandon. It looks like stepping outside the comfort of your umbrella and letting the rain, letting His presence soak deep into your life and into your heart to transform you so that you can transform the world. What is worship? I know it's really easy for us to box worship into music and singing on a Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, if that is what we limit worship to mean in our lives, we are missing out on all that God has for us. Because worship is far more than music. Graham Cook says that worship is the melody that defines us as Christians, as people, as individuals. We never exit worship because we're always in the presence of God. Worship is the overwhelming response of our hearts to all that He is. Worship is an every day, every moment, every breath expression. It's a permanent state of being, not a weekend pop-up shop. When we behave and live like Jesus behaved and lived, that is living a life of worship. He is our ultimate example. And remember, Jesus didn't live a life of worship in His own strength. He did it in partnership with the Holy Spirit, who He allowed to work in Him and through Him to change the world. So to tie this into our series on the kingdom, I wanted to look at what living a life of worship looks like tied into our core values, which we call our e-graces, because I want to give us a practical explanation, a practical application of how we can walk this out in our everyday lives. So our first core value, our first e-grace, is all about encountering God. And this is the starting place. This is where it all begins, for us to understand His heart, for us to strengthen our relationship with Him. It's, yes, it's worship corporately on a Sunday together. That is an integral piece of it. But it's also personally encountering Him on a day-to-day basis. So if you don't have a personal worship time, I want to encourage you to cultivate that in your own life. Cultivate a personal worship time with the Lord to encounter Him, to allow Him to work in your life and in your heart to change you and to make you more like His Son. Worship transforms us from the inside out, because how can we not be changed when we spend time in His presence in communion and intimacy with Him? Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Psalm 84:1-4, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole body, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Encountering God teaches us how to be before we do. It is so important for us to catch His heart, to just be with Jesus, to just be in His presence before we go out and do for Him. In order for us to be good representations of who Christ is, we have to spend time with Jesus, so that we can be accurate representations, that we can be good reflections of His kingdom wherever we go. The second core value I want to tie living a life of worship into is engaging people. Because when we encounter God in worship and we know His heart, we have a better understanding of His love for people, which in turn gives us a heart to engage them. We're going to look at John 13. And what I love about this piece of scripture is it's when Jesus washes His disciples' feet. And it's such a beautiful picture of humility, of servanthood, of an expression of love, and ultimately an act of worship. I want to read from verse 14 and 15, John 13, 14 to 15. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Did you know that just loving people is an act of worship? That giving someone an encouraging word is an act of worship. Paying for someone's groceries at the grocery store. These are all ways that we engage people around us, and they are all acts of worship. Why? Because when you love somebody well and they ask, why do you act like this? Who gets the glory? Jesus. When you give someone an encouraging word, who gets the glory? Jesus. When you pay for someone else's groceries, when you make time for a friend, when you invite people into your home, when you share the gospel, when you behave like Jesus behaves, who gets the glory? God. And glorifying God is an act of worship. Our third core value, equip the saints. When I think of this in terms of living a life of worship, I think of what do we bring and do we come ready to receive? 1 Corinthians 14:26, beloved friends, what does all this imply? When you conduct your meetings, you should always let everything be done to build up the church family. Whether you share a song of praise, a teaching, a divine revelation, or a tongue and interpretation, let each one contribute what strengthens others. We are encouraging and equipping each other when we live a life of worship. And Jesus modeled what that looks like for us. What are we modeling to the people around us? We're going to do a little real talk. On a Sunday morning during service, are we engaged in worship? What does our body language look like? What sort of example are we setting for our children and for the other people around us? Are we engaged in prayer when we gather at 10 a.m.? Do we bring a hymn, a song, an encouraging word? Are we listening for what the Holy Spirit has to deposit in us as unique individuals so that we can bring that to encourage, to equip the saints of this body at work or school? What are we modeling? How do we treat those around us? God made you unique. He loves every fiber of your being, and he wants to be engaged in speaking to you. So when you come here on a Sunday morning, I want to encourage you, have ears to hear what he wants to say. Have eyes to see who he wants to touch. Because you are helping to equip the people in this place. You're helping to encourage one another so that as we stand shoulder to shoulder here, we can then go out through those doors and effectively equip and encourage and engage people in our communities. Jesus says to us in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and disciple, go and model, go equip those around you with the goal that they themselves will do it again with somebody else. Discipleship, equipping, is an act of worship within the kingdom. Look to Jesus. Look to the example that he set. Those he discipled, those he equipped, and those he sent out into the world to do the same. Our fourth core value, empower leaders. In kingdom and in living a life of worship, this looks to me like seeing the golden people and calling out their destiny. And Jesus gives us such a great example of this. Time after time in the Bible, he saw in people treasure in the midst of the mess. And he reminded them of their destiny, all that was available to them in Christ, even if they weren't there yet. Because how many of you know, sometimes you can see in the distance all that he's called you to, but in the moment, it's really hard to have that perspective. Maybe you're dealing with somebody at work who has just really given you an upgrade in patience and in joy and in love. Ask the Lord to show you the treasure in the midst of that person. Ask the Lord to show you the gold in the people around you, in your family, at work, at school. ask God to reveal that to you so that you can begin in your interactions and the words that you speak to call out the destiny in them, regardless of whether they're saved or not. Don't discount the power of an encouraging word or a prophetic word. When we do the same as Jesus did, when we empower the people around us, when we follow Jesus' example, we live a life of worship. Because living a life of worship is not a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an every moment thing. It's not something that we flip on and flip off. It should be something that we walk out every day. I am constantly living a life of worship because my life is an act of worship. I want to encourage you and say, Jesus didn't come just to die. He didn't just come so that we would be redeemed and that we would have salvation. He also came to empower 12 men and for those men to change the world. He came so that we would be empowered to go out in that power, in that victory, and transform the world around us. As we live our lives as an act of worship, people will notice because we will look different than the world. Luke 9:1-6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them, so that they set out and went from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. I want that to be the testimony of my life, that people look at the way I live and see Jesus, that I look for opportunities to display who he is, to reveal his power and his majesty, to ultimately give him all the glory and all the worship through every act, through every word that I say. Do I do it well sometimes? Absolutely. Do I not do it well sometimes? Yeah, unfortunately, right? We're all works in progress. But I want to encourage us to run passionately after living our lives as an act of worship, living our lives as worship to him, encountering him, engaging the people around us, equipping the saints, equipping our family, empowering leaders, and all of that naturally leads to our fifth core value, which is extend the kingdom, being good witnesses. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And those four core values that we talked about, encountering God, engaging people, equipping the saints, empowering leaders, they're all pieces to the puzzle that enable the kingdom to be extended. We are the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. And sometimes we're the only expression of Jesus that some people will see. So we want to be good expressions of who he is. We want to be accurate representations of who Jesus is. We want to put others first, because when we put others first, we extend the kingdom. When we love people well, we extend the kingdom. When we live like Christ lived, living a life of worship, the kingdom of God will be extended. And it's important to remember that even if you don't see something happening, it doesn't mean that nothing's happening. We operate in the spiritual realm as well. And oftentimes there are things happening in the background. There are seeds planted by the way that we live. There are times where we are obedient to God and giving an encouraging word and we don't see a transformation yet. But trust that God's word doesn't leave his mouth and return to him without accomplishing everything he set out for it to accomplish. So even when you don't see something happen in the natural, believe that as you have been obedient to live a life of worship, to be a good representation of who Christ is, that he is working and moving, that he is beginning to massage his light and his love into people's hearts around us. You can encounter God wherever you are in every moment. You can engage people at church, at home, at school, and beyond. you can equip saints by bringing the gifts that God has given you and having a heart to receive and grow. And you can empower leaders through discipleship and looking to Jesus as your example. You can extend the kingdom by living a life of worship. Our lives are an act of worship. Let's live them so that God gets the glory. Amen. That's all I got for you this morning. I hope it's been impactful. I hope it's encouraging you to want to today leave those doors and say, God, I want to live my life as an act of worship. I want to live every day in worship to you so that you get the glory through my thoughts, through my actions, through my words, because I want to see your kingdom extended. I want to see people encounter you. I want to see people engaged with who you are. I want to see the saints, my brothers and sisters in Christ, equipped to go out. I want to see leaders empowered and people empowered around me so that your kingdom can be extended. Amen.